We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey, everybody. It's Steve Alexander here at the award-winning RotoWire Fantasy Basketball Podcast. It's Tuesday, April 9th. I'm Dr. A. He's Kieran Specker. I'm going to the Hawks game tonight, supposedly. God willing, and the creek don't rise. And we got fantasy championships, injury news, and an incredibly busy Tuesday night to talk about when we come back. Kieran, we did it. We made it through to the final week of the NBA regular season.
We did it. And now we just got to make it through one last week of crazy long injury reports.
Well, my leagues are all done. They all wrapped up. I got the big dub in 30 deep, which I'm super psyched about. And did you get any wins?
I didn't get any wins. I'm battling for a third place. That it's a 4 week long championship type deal. So the last week of that, probably not going to get third place. And then I secured, like, we have a stake league. So there's 16 teams, and then the bottom eight have to pay for the top eight for a steak dinner. So I'm in the eaters in that section. So I saved myself a couple $100 with that. So that was a big win for me. Even though I didn't take home any money, I get a free steak.
That definitely counts. Anytime you get a free steak from playing fantasy sports, it counts as a win. So we had the national championship game last night. From Indiana. All my Purdue people were at the game. I was feeling Purdue. I was kind of thought Zach Edey was going to kind of run over them. He did, but nobody else could do anything. UConn had the perfect game plan. Turned out to be kind of a ho-hum, boring game. But how weird was it to not have to worry about one single NBA thing yesterday? Like, that was wild.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. There's so many teams that are playing back-to-backs. The Grizzlies played a back-to-back last week, and then their next game is a back-to-back this week, and then there's no games on Monday. It seems like odd scheduling. There was a free slate of NBA so that we could all tune in to the college championship, and I tuned in for about 5 minutes in the second half, and I was like, all right, well, this is over. So yeah. The only real, like, thing – that I noticed from that game was Purdue only had one player that had an assist. That seems crazy to me. Like, if you're playing, UConn must have had some sort of defensive scheme, and obviously Klingon is a beast down low, but that only one player and assist in a champ. He had eight assists, of course, but, like, that's still crazy to me for a championship level game.
Yeah, they game planned really well for Purdue. So, all right. Let's hit some injury highlights real quick. Some news from yesterday. Trae Young of the Hawks has been cleared for contact after his finger surgery. So it looks like we're going to see Trae at some point this week. Will that be tonight? I doubt it, but anything is possible. at this point. Giannis is iffy for Tuesday against the Celtics. Carl Anthony Towns scrimmaged on Sunday. He's going to play at some point this week for the Wolves. And Anthony Davis, after getting his eye raked over again on Sunday, sounds like he's going to play tonight despite the discomfort.
Yep, absolutely. I think Trae Young and Cat have both been ruled out for tonight. Barring, you know, we saw Joel Embiid be ruled out for all the way up until tip off, and then he got cleared for his big return. So barring a situation like that, Trey and Cat will both be out tonight. But I do expect them to play at some point later this week. The Hawks, you know, they're kind of just chilling in that playing spot, playing pretty decently. They've lost back-to-back games, but, you know, DeJounte Murray's like kept them alive. So it's going to be interesting to see how much Trae Young plays when he does return and how big of an impact he'll have. The Cat news is fantastic for the Timberwolves and Timberwolves fans. Naj Reid has been playing really well in Cat's absence, but Cat brings just another level to that team, another offensive threat, another defensive threat. He's not great on the perimeter, but still, like, that team is better with Cat, and they're going to be a force in the playoffs with him healthy. Giannis and AD should be fine. We are a little bit concerned about Kawhi Leonard, though, right? He's missing another game tonight. We haven't really had a substantive, like, update on, like, how he's feeling. That'll be five straight absences. And for a guy like Kawhi, five straight after a healthy season up to this point ahead of the playoffs is a little concerning.
Yeah, it is highly concerning on Kawhi Leonard. I mean, we're talking about five games in a row and a knee, and man, he was such a good soldier this year. And I was like coming back around, like, man, maybe I'll draft Kawhi Leonard again next year. And now I'm kind of feeling like, man, if I would have gone through that whole 30 deep season and he was my anchor and then he checks out for the last five games, man, I'd be crushed right now. I'd be devastated. So I don't know, man. And then a couple other things we didn't have written down that we talked about. Jakob Poeltl out for the year for the Raptors. Scotty Barnes done for the season for the Raptors. But yeah, this Kawhi thing, man, I don't like it. I don't like anything about it.
No, it was nice to see Paul George turn back to his Indiana Paul George days the other day, but the Clippers without Kawhi are not going to be a force in the West.
They're not. And Phoenix is struggling again. Like, yeah. Man, I don't know. The West is weird. But everything's kind of locked into shape now, right? Like, let's take a quick look at the standings. I have not done that recently. I know Boston has like a 15-game lead on Milwaukee, right? Like, that's insane.
But the rest of the East is – the Bucks have just fallen apart and kind of let a couple of teams have a chance here at the 2 seed. Between the 2 seed and the 7 seed are separated by 3.5 games. That seems crazy. The 2 seed and the 8 seed are separated by 4 games. So there could be a lot of shuffling here over the last week.
The freaking Orlando Magic are 1 game behind the Bucks. Like, hear that? Is nuts.
The mismatches that Franz and Paolo provide the Magic are just awesome. I like trying to game plan against Paolo for the playoffs. It's going to be tough. I think he needs to take a couple steps still, but like the way that he's dominating games, like, it's LeBron-esque. I don't want to say he's LeBron yet, but his post-up game, his facilitating this year, he's taking all of the next steps to be a superstar in a couple years. And you know, they're about to be a 2 seed. They make some hay now. He could be turning that corner during this playoffs for sure. And then, you know, the Knicks got OG back. They're gonna be fine. You know, Julius got ruled out for the season, but OG and Mitchell Robinson are back, so the Knicks defense is gonna be tough. The Cavs with Donovan Mitchell, I'm still not sold that Mitchell is 100%, and if he's not 100%, I don't know how I feel. And then the Sixers with Embiid and the Heat are at the bottom of the standings, and those are two super dangerous teams. If I was the Bucks and I'm reeling and I just lost to the Wizards and now I got to play the first round matchup is against the Sixers or the Heat, that's really tough. That's really tough for the Bucks.
Did you know the Bucks have four games left and the Magic have four games left and they play each other in two of those games? Like, Orlando is at Milwaukee on Wednesday. Orlando finishes at home against Milwaukee on Sunday. So, if they win both of those games, if Orlando happens to win both of those games, it's probably done. They're probably going to pass them. Like, this is incredible. This is the Orlando Magic. But the bad news is, I know we're going to get to this in a second, but they lost Franz. He got hurt on Sunday, sprained his ankle, and now he's kind of iffy for the whole week. And they're going to need Franz Wagner to play if they're going to beat the Bucks two times. But that's pretty exciting, man. I love when these head-to-head matchups that have playoff implications actually end up happening. And, you know, it makes the playoff run so much more fun. So
yeah, with a 82 game season, it doesn't always work out like that. Like, but in the NFL, you feel like always week 16, week 17, you're seeing these huge playoff implication matchups. So it's good to see in the NBA with that, make that last week interesting.
Then you still have in the West, you still have Minnesota, Denver, and Oklahoma City all kind of battling for who's number one. You've got the Mavericks who have gone 9-1 over the last 10.
Red hot. Just
on fire. Kyrie, and there's pictures on Twitter of Kyrie and Luka, like best buddies, brothers. And, you know, Dallas made a nice little run. They passed the Pelicans. They won their division. They are the number – they're going to be the number five seed in the West. All that might be enough to get Luka an MVP. I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt that they're going to give it to anybody but Jokic. But – I don't know. I think Luka and the Mavericks finishing fifth at least puts him in the conversation. And Luka shot like 79% from the free throw line this year. If he would have done that back in the day when Matt Straub and I were betting a jersey every single year, I would have a closet full of jerseys.
Yeah, it's great to see him get better at the free throw line, you know, especially for fantasy purposes. He's a great shooter. By all, like, he can knock it down from deep, so I don't really know what goes on when he gets to the free throw line, and he gets there often enough that if he increases from 69% to 79%, that's a lot more points per game for sure.
Yeah, he did it.
And you said if the Mavericks are the fifth seed, they theoretically could pass the Clippers. They're two games back, but like we said, Kawhi is out, so who knows how many games the Clippers are going to win in this next series. Long shot, but there's a possibility for them to jump to the four seed.
That's true.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, so let's just preview this crazy 14-game slate. I think all 28 out of 30 teams are playing tonight. I think it's 14 games. Yep. Detroit's at Philly. Chimezi Mitu, who I picked up for my 30-team final week, if I had to play this week, but I don't, thankfully. But Mitu was going to be in my starting lineup this week if we had to play it out. So he is starting for Detroit. Meanwhile, Tyrese Maxey, Kyle Lowry, Tobias Harris, and Joel Embiid are all literally game-time calls for the Sixers. And Kelly Oubre does not have a big red cross by his name. He should be a strong play tonight, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking at FanDuel and DraftKings, neither of those sites have player props for any players other than Embiid and Cade Cunningham. And both of those guys are questionable for today. So I would stay away from placing any single bets down. Obviously, like we said, most fantasy seasons are already over. So if you're looking for action, you can go to those sites or Prize Picks or something. But it's kind of surprising that those are the only two available. There are a ton of question marks for Philly. Five guys questionable: Maxey, Lowry, Harris, Embiid, and Melton. I would expect a couple of them to play. But I'm staying away on any player props for that game. The over-under is 15.5, the spread for Philly is 15.5. The over-under is at 223. This is one of 6 games that have a double-digit spread tonight. So that just kind of shows you where the league is at right now. Though there's going to be a lot of blowouts. Tonight, I think there's a couple games on the slate that are going to be entertaining for a viewership, as opposed to, like, you know, having fantasy implications or betting on it. This is one of those games. Detroit is a mess. Philly is kind of trying to figure it out, but they're not going to risk anything now with Embiid coming back. I'm probably rolling with Philly to cover this. Detroit, that 15.5 points is a lot of points, but if half of their starters are playing, I like Philly to cover against Detroit tonight. Cade Cunningham has been one of my – I was really high on him coming into this fantasy season. I drafted him in multiple leagues. I think I had him in half of my leagues. I was a little disappointed at times with, like, his shot selection and watching those games and just being like, the Pistons are terrible. And, like, I like Cunningham's style and he gets stats, but the way that he gets stats, it's kind of like, you know, fluff stats in blowout games. I'm really hoping that he becomes a guy in the next couple of years, but I don't think, and it was great to see him, like, play a full season after being injured all year, but I wanted more from Cade this season. It was nice to see, like, Jaden Ivey step up, but, you know, it's going to be, like you said, Metu is coming through. Like, there's a bunch of, like, no-name guys that are making hay for Detroit this week.
Yeah. I can't make my mind up about Cade Cunningham. I tend to try to ignore the hype and the people that – the naysayers that are like, oh, his game doesn't really translate to fantasy that well, and think that he's going to be – awesome, but then, like you just said, you watch him play and it's like, okay, well, it's his game is kind of detrimental to fantasy. Like, it doesn't match up that well, but he's also real young and has a lot of time to figure it out and still puts up big numbers. So I'm cool with Cade. I'm not reaching. Cade is not a guy I will ever reach for.
I reach for him a lot this year, and, like, a lot of assists, a lot of points, a lot of threes at times, good free throw shooter, not many defensive stats, poor field goal percentage. So obviously he's a lot better in a points league than a category league.
Yeah. Okay. So on to Indy and Toronto. Indy is healthy. TJ McConnell has been very good. I think if I build a FanDuel lineup tonight, it's going to probably have Chimezie Metu in it. It's going to have TJ McConnell in it. Kelly Olynyk should be good for Toronto again. Emmanuel Quickley is out, meaning Grady Dick and Gary Trent are both probably going to play and put up numbers tonight. Trent's good to go. Dick has got some sort of injury problem. He's questionable, but anything stand out with Indy and Toronto for you, Kieran?
Yeah, so RotoWire has been trying to promote this prize picks tool that we've been using. So what it does is it takes the numbers on prize picks and then it compares it to what sportsbooks are offering, what RotoWire projections are offering, how often that prop would hit. And normally just a bunch of cool analytic tools to look at. Check it out, rotowire.com/picks. So for this game, I was looking at that tool and it had Kelly Olynyk on prize picks. His number is at 13.5 points, right? And then you go to FanDuel or DraftKings, that number goes up to 14.5. So if you want to play prize picks tonight, Kelly Olynyk more than 13.5 points. He's scored at least 13 in 6 of his last 8, and he's averaging 15 points during that said. Like you said, Quigley's out. There's going to be more shots available. I like Kelly Olynyk's points total today, 13.5. This is another double-digit spread game. Indy has still trying to kind of like figure it out. They look good at times. TJ McConnell has been playing really well. But I don't really like anything else in this game. I like Trent to get up a bunch of shots. RJ Barrett has been playing really well since coming back from his personal absence. He looks really comfortable in Toronto. I'm not quite sure that I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is with RJ Barrett. I'm much more comfortable rolling with Olynyk. I feel like he's a safer option tonight.
Well said. My Dallas Mavericks against your Charlotte Hornets. Oh my goodness, that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to watch. Dallas is pretty healthy right now on the health watch. Like Derek Lively's out, Gafford and Grant Williams are both ready to go. They should be good. Luka and Kyrie should be good to go. Maybe just for a half, maybe just for a quarter, whatever it takes to win this game. It's not going to take long. I'd see Luka having one of those 25-5 four three-pointer first quarters tonight. I can't remember the guy's first name, but Micic, the point guard for
Vasily
for the Hornets, should be playing tonight and should be ready to go. So I like Micic and I like Grant Williams in this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Grant Williams, Nick Richards came back for the last game against OKC, but since OKC obviously has Chet at center, they rolled with Grant Williams again in the starting lineup. I think Williams just gives Charlotte a little more offensive firepower, and they desperately need it. So I like rolling with Williams, but I'm taking Micic today on prize picks. Like I said, I used the tool again. His points, rebounds, and assists total is set at 21.5. That is the same on FanDuel and DraftKings, but if you go on those sites, you get it at -125. So there's a lot better value on this number on prize picks. Micic has surpassed 21.5 points, rebounds, and assists in 5 of his last 6, and he's averaging 12.5 points, 10 assists, and 2.7 rebounds during that stretch. I think there's a lot of really good value there. This is another double-digit spread today. And like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas blows them out in the first half. But I'm not really concerned about Charlotte pulling guys like Micic or Grant Williams in this game. This is also a little bit of a revenge game for Grant Williams. Obviously, Williams started the season with Dallas, and there was a lot of chatter online, a lot of rumors about how he rubbed people the wrong way there. So there might be a little bit of a revenge game going on for Grant Williams against Dallas tonight.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely valid because the way he went out in Dallas was not cool. And yeah, and he's playing well, and he's probably going to want to, he's probably going to want to rough him up a little bit. So I think that's legit. The Miami Hawks are, or the Miami Heat are at the Atlanta Hawks. I am going to that game with my sometimes Roto-World fantasy basketball podcast, Bob Nastanovich of the band Pavement. We are rolling down there together, taking my daughter to a Hawks game. She's bugging me to go for a couple of years. So we're doing it. We're going in. Terry Rozier is iffy with a neck injury. Bam is probable. The Hawks will not have Trae Young, as we established. The rest of their lineup looks like it should be good to go. What you got here, Kieran?
So yeah, like you said, Trae Young's not playing. This is actually only a 4-point spread. Miami's only favored by 4, so this should be a good game. I think you said Terry Rozier had the neck issue on Sunday. He was not listed. He was good to go, and then he was a late addition to the injury report with some neck stiffness, which was never a good sign. I was fully expecting him not to play. And then he got cleared to play, and I was like, oh, well, maybe it's not that bad. And then he put out the biggest dud of all duds, scored 4 points, played only like 20 minutes, and then after the game said I probably shouldn't be playing. That kind of leads me to believe that he won't be playing tonight, which sucks for the Heat. But they got Hero back, so I think, you know, the backcourt of Hero and Robinson will be fine and mitigate Rozier's loss. For the Prize Picks tool, the theme of today's show, I'm rolling with Jalen Johnson on Prize Picks. His points total is set at 16.5 points. FanDuel and DraftKings have that at 17.5 points, so you get an extra point on the Prize Picks tool. He had a dud last week again in Dallas, scored in single digits, but his other two starts since returning from injury, he scored 28 points and 17 points. I know Miami has a good defensive front court and all that, but Jalen Johnson is a stud. He's from Wisconsin. I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm rolling with the hometown boy, Jalen Johnson, against the Heat tonight. It's more than 16.5 points.
It's nice to see that the Hawks lineup looks normal. It doesn't have Krejci and a bunch of no names in it like it easily could at this time of year. They've got a play-in tournament they got to go win. They got to win some games. They're getting ready to welcome Trae back. I'm sure that part of them thinks, hey, you know what? If we get hot at the right time, you never know what can happen. And it's been such a dismal season for them. And Coach Quinn has not really fit in the way everybody hoped he would. And I think them making a run in this play-in tournament and maybe getting into the playoffs and getting some more postseason experience would actually be good for that team. So we'll see what happens. Next on the docket is the Celtics and the Bucks. Is that correct?
Yeah, it looks like that.
Porzingis probably going to get the night off. That's the thing, man. These Celtics, I don't know how people are like, well, I still don't think they're going to win the East. I mean, they just run over the East. They can do whatever they want. They can hold Horford out. They can hold Porzingis out. They can sit Tatum. They can sit whoever they want because it doesn't matter. Everybody's going to be healthy coming into the postseason there. The Bucks, it sounds like Chris Middleton is probable. Giannis, a little iffy for tonight. And I don't know that Milwaukee can afford to not play Giannis. But, yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like Giannis is going to play tonight. With the Bucks' recent struggles, this really feels like a game where a team that has probably been like, we're only thinking about the playoffs, right? You fired Budenholzer. He had won a bunch of regular season games, right? Like that is what he does. He wins regular season games. His team struggle in the playoffs. You fire Budenholzer because you want to have better success in the playoffs. And now you're all upset that you aren't playing as well during the regular season. And it's like, well, wasn't the whole point of the offseason to prepare yourself for the postseason and get these guys? Obviously, there's no better way to prepare for the postseason than winning in the regular season. But I do feel like you look at teams like the Lakers last year and these veteran teams, the Warriors a couple years ago when they made the run to the finals against the Celtics, like, there's these veteran teams with these superstars can turn it on. I know that phrase is kind of like looked at in a negative light, but in the NBA, these superstar teams can turn it on. The Bucks need to turn it on. And I feel like this is the moment where Giannis is like, I'm playing tonight. Dame has a good game. The Celtics may be resting Porzingis and Horford. So, you know, they got a little bit of a light front court that the Bucks can take advantage of. I kind of like rolling with Bucks money line tonight. It's kind of a wild card play, just a shot in the dark, but they need a turnaround. And what better way to get like to psych yourself up to be like, all right, we're back after a couple bad losses than beating the number one team in the league. I think this Celtics are only favored by 2.5 tonight. I think that takes into account that the assumption that Porzingis and Horford are both going to be out. And if both those guys are out, I really like the Bucks front court to dominate Luke Kornet and Xavier Tillman and O'Shea Brissett and guys like that. And obviously that Giannis is also questionable, but even if he doesn't play, Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez are much better than the backups for the backup front court players for the Celtics. So this is kind of like my play of the day. I'm rolling with Bucks money line, which is +110 right now. I don't really like any of the Prize Picks plays here. I was kind of looking at a Porzingis points total. His points total is set at 16.5, but like I said, he's questionable, not expecting him to play, and I don't want to put down a bet on somebody that's questionable.
Okay. I like that. The play of the day, the Milwaukee Bucks against the Boston Celtics. That's gutsy, and I like the fact that Vegas has got the spread down low. That works. It works. And we've seen Boston lose games they shouldn't lose, so it's not crazy. The Knicks are at the Bulls. The Knicks are healthy. Jalen Brunson just keeps rolling along, mowing people down. What if Brunson was still playing with Luka? I'd like to know how that would be going right now. For the Bulls, you've got Coby White as probable. You've got Ayo Dosunmu as iffy, and you've got Caruso also iffy with an ankle injury. So the whole backcourt for Chicago is kind of banged up. Are you does that make you want to roll with Coby White tonight, or do you not trust him?
Oh, no, I probably rolling with Kobe. I know that he's had some struggles since that long injury absence. But and the Knicks defensive backcourt is really solid. I like Kobe in this game. Going back, I'm from Wisconsin, but I'm actually not a Bucks fan, so there's no bias in that Bucks pick. But I did have a couple buddies texting me like, if Giannis can beat the Knicks, does he get back in the MVP conversation? And then Brunson drops 40 on their head, and it's like, well, does Brunson deserve to be in the MVP conversation now? Because if he only played the Bucks and played against Damian Lillard every game, Brunson should be the MVP. He's averaging like 38 points a game against the Bucks this year. So that Jalen Brunson, fantastic player. I don't think he'll get any MVP votes, but he more than has exceeded expectations this year. And I feel like forever we're going to talk about what would have happened if he would have stayed with Dallas. But I don't think you would have seen this type of ascension. I think he learned those pivot moves. He got all of that stuff going by playing with Luka and all of that stuff. And then he really had to be on his own to flourish. And then now there's, you know, the talking heads on ESPN are always talking about, oh, let's go get superstars for New York. Let's go get, you know, let's go get Donovan Mitchell. Let's go get Mikal Bridges. Probably isn't a superstar type player, but I think he would actually be a good fit. But this team really for me is Brunson, Robinson, and that like defensive front court, DiVincenzo, OG Anunoby. Like I think they went out and they did the moves. They got OG. So I think the Knicks don't need to get a superstar. For tonight, I think, you know, I'm just rolling with the Knicks to cover. They're only favored by 4.5 points. Pretty healthy squad tonight. Like you said, there's a couple injuries to monitor for the Bulls. I think the Knicks are just a much better team. I think that number is too low. So I'm rolling with Knicks -4.5 against the Bulls tonight.
man, if OG and Julius Randle wouldn't have gotten hurt, I think the Knicks would be really fun to watch in these playoffs. So it's I'm pretty sad that they're not going to be at full strength. Orlando Magic at Houston Rockets. Houston finally gave up the fight. They did not catch the Golden State Warriors. I think we were all hoping they would. Franz Wagner injured his ankle on Sunday. He's hurt. Are we going to get a Joe Ingles signing tonight if he's out? And Houston actually still rolling along. Everybody looks healthy. I expect Jalen Green and the guys to go off again.
Yeah, I was on the pod yesterday with Nick Whalen. Alex Brutha was off, and we were he was kind of questioning, like, is Houston going to rest some of these guys in the stretch run? And we kind of came to the conclusion that they're built backwards, right? You know, normally you have your veteran starters, and then you got some young guys willing to contribute off the bench. But this their starting lineup is a bunch of youngsters, aside from Fred VanVleet. And then their bench is a bunch of veterans. So I don't really see Jalen Green or Amen Thompson or Cam Whitmore or Jabari Smith or any of those guys taking a seat. So I expect the Rockets to play pretty well over the final stretch and continue to build off of whatever they've built in the last couple weeks. A fantastic stretch for a young team that they can look back at in the offseason and be like, if we play like that for a full 82, we can be a playoff team for sure. So that's exciting. I think they're going to want to continue that over the final week. With that said, even if Franz doesn't play tonight, I'm rolling with the hot hand. Orlando's only a 3-point favorite right now, and we're talking about a 3-point favorite. I know they're playing on the road, but they're fighting. They're almost the number two seed. They're the number three seed in the East against the 11th seed in the West, and they're only 3-point favorites. I don't think that's enough points. Even if Franz doesn't play, I know I'm not psyched about a lot of Joe Ingles minutes, but I know they can also go to Moritz Wagner, Franz's brother, off the bench. They can go to Jonathan Isaac. I really like the way that Jamal Mosley manipulates those bench minutes when guys are out. So I think Franz will be fine for the playoffs. I do think he might miss a couple games over the final week. And even if he misses tonight, I still like Orlando -3 against Houston.
Yeah, and if Franz is out tonight, Banchero is going to be locked into all my FanDuel lineups hard because he's going to have to do all the heavy lifting himself. So
definitely.
Okay. Washington, Minnesota. We have got Kyle Kuzma iffy with an ankle. Jordan Poole, Kispert, and Denny Avdija kind of all balling out right now. Like, I think Jordan Poole finally cleared his mind and is just playing basketball again and finally looks good. Kispert scoring points. Avdija's had a great year, in my opinion, man. Like, I maybe not a great year. He's not like an all-star, not a fantasy all-star, but he's just a solid fantasy player. Relatively low in the rankings. But, you know, anytime I get a 31 and 12 out of a guy like that, I'm just psyched about it. Minnesota starters are all healthy, including Naz Reid. We're still waiting for the return of Cat. What you got going on with Washington, Minnesota?
Yeah, I think you – Avdija, I think he's a star in his role, right? Like, you look at the overall season stats and you're like, well, this isn't a star player by any means. But he has been a star on certain nights, and he – is certainly capable, and he's taken a huge leap this forward. I'm really encouraged to see that. Obviously,
you're talking about Denny, right? Denny.
Yeah. And obviously, it's for a team that's not really playing well. So we'll see how that translates to like actually winning games. But super encouraged by that. I hope Poole plays in the league for a long time. He's an entertaining player and character. Obviously, for him to do that, he needs to be productive, and I think he can be. That said, this is another double-digit spread. Minnesota's favored by 16.5 points. Washington has five guys that are questionable, kind of staying away from a lot of bets on this game. I do like Rudy Gobert's points total on Prize Picks. I know that kind of sounds like a weird phrase. Rudy is not known for scoring, right? His points total on Prize Picks is set at 14.5. All of the sports books have it at 14.5, but the odds are at -125. So you get a lot better odds on Prize Picks. Gobert has actually scored in double figures in 7 of his last 8 games. So like he's getting buckets. There's opportunities for dumps offs from Ant and Mike Conley and whatever. But the biggest reason why I'm doing this is because Washington has no centers. Marvin Bagley's already been ruled out. Tristan Vucevic, who's been playing pretty well, is questionable. Rishon Holmes is also questionable. Kyle Kuzma, who plays some small ball 5 at times for them, is also questionable. So even if these guys do suit up, they're a little banged up. And even if they were at full strength, they're not really good matchups against Rudy Gobert. So it's a little bit of an odd one, but I'm rolling with Rudy's points total 14.5 tonight against Washington. No center wizards.
Yeah, they don't have Danny Gafford there anymore, do they? They don't have anybody. Rishon Holmes almost tried to cost me 30 deep, but I didn't let him do it. Sacramento at Oklahoma City. Keegan Murray, iffy with a calf injury. Jalen Williams, iffy with an ankle injury. He's missed 4 straight games. I feel like Jalen is going to roll out there tonight and play. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should be good to go as well. I feel like we're about to get the Oklahoma City Thunder back at full strength.
Yeah, absolutely. I sure hope so. And this would be a fantastic time to do so because this is a playoff matchup right here. This could be a first-round playoff matchup, kind of getting an early preview. There's so many big double-digit spreads tonight, and this is actually going to be one of those competitive games that I'm going to be tuning into for sure. While SGA is fully cleared, he's not on the injury report at all. He's making his return following a multiple game absence. I think he missed 4 straight and 6 of the last 7. The one time he did play 35 minutes during that stretch, but he scored only 19 points. And given that, I don't think he's really going to be limited today. Like, I don't think he's going to play 25 minutes or 27 minutes. I think he will get a full allotment of minutes, but I don't know if he's going to be as aggressive. Right now, Prize Picks has SGA's points total set at 28.5. Seems like a pretty high number for a guy that has played only 1 game in the last 2 weeks. So I'm going to be rolling with the under on that. Less than 28.5 points. Sportsbooks have SGA's total at 28.5, but the odds again are -125. So you get better odds on Prize Picks. I'm not expecting him to be super rusty or anything. I just don't think that he's going to be super aggressive. De'Aaron Fox is a great defender. SGA, Fox, Sabonis, Chet, like hopefully Jalen Williams plays. This is probably right behind Bucks, Celtics for like must watch games tonight, right? Like those are the 2 games that I'm definitely tuning into. Probably throwing in the Warriors and Lakers, but we'll get to that in a little bit for sure.
Yeah, and De'Aaron Fox was another key cog on my 30 deep team. De'Aaron Fox, Coby White, shout out to them. Austin Reaves, Victor Wembanyama, of course. And so yeah, I like Fox to try to go off against the Thunder tonight. So I could see him being in my FanDuel lineup as well. Kieran, I think we're here to the annual silly season special. The San Antonio Spurs are taking on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. If you look at the lineup sheets for this game and you look at Memphis, you will see like 12 guys with red crosses next to their name. And then you will see 5 names of people you've hardly ever heard of that are in their starting lineup. And it's pretty funny. Just going over some of these names: Trey Jones, Malachi Branham, Julian Champagne, Sandro Mamukelashvili, Victor Wembanyama, Scottie Pippen Jr., Jordan Goodwin, Gigi Jackson, Malcina Pereira, and Trey Jameson. Like, that is your starting 10 tonight. And it is fabulous.
You to look at the Memphis injury report, you got to have the eclipse glasses on. You got to have something. You got to have something to protect yourself. It is a mess. I have no other analysis aside from that. you know, the only reason why you're tuning into this game is to get one more look at Victor Wembanyama before the regular season is finished. They're expecting it to be a pretty competitive game. Spurs are only favored by 4.5 points. The over-under is set at 215.5, which is tied for the lowest on the board. I'm probably staying away from this one. If I catch any of it, I'm probably just cheering for Victor to make a couple threes or have a fun block or something. But like you said, this is silly season in full effect. Happy to see some of these guys get an opportunity. Victor versus Gigi Jackson should probably have some highlight worthy plays today, but not much going on in this one for sure.
Dude, if they let Victor Wembanyama go out there and just play in this game, like, this could be one of those historic nights, because he's going to be by far the best player on that court. And, you know, I from my personal standpoint, I'm glad I don't need to worry about whether Wemby's going to play or not, because it was incredible to see that team I had him on and all the teams I had him on. Like, if he played, I won. If he took one game off a week, I usually lost. It was crucial for him to be in there. But, man, he could go out there and just light a fire tonight. It could be awesome.
Well, one of the biggest things with Victor for me throughout the early stages of the season, when he wasn't really quite putting up the points or like the consistent production that we were hoping for, was he wasn't playing a full like 30 minutes. He was playing 28 minutes, 29 minutes. That has gone out the window, and I'm really happy to see it. Like, obviously the Spurs aren't playing for anything, but Wembanyama has played 30 plus minutes in 17 straight games. And like, you on Sunday for your championship, probably he played 43 minutes against the Sixers. And when a guy like that is playing 40 plus minutes, the stats are just going to come. Like, even if he has a bad shooting night or something, he's going to get stats just because of the way he is and the dominance that he has. 33 points, 18 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 blocks in 43 minutes. If he plays anywhere close to 40 minutes tonight, like you said, historic performance could be coming for sure.
Yeah, I think that was a double overtime game as well, which I was not complaining about as long as it kept him on the court and my free throw percentage didn't drop. Tonight we've got Denver at Utah. All 5 Denver starters are actually on the injury report, but all of them are probable except for Aaron Gordon, who's questionable. Utah's silly season starting 5 will include Keontae George, Colin Sexton, who should go off, some dude named Bryce Sensabaugh, Taylor Hendricks, and Omer Yurtseven.
Yeah, I'm pretty high on Keontae George as a guy for next year, as a guy for keeper leagues. I think he has a bright future, for sure. Bryce Sensabaugh and Taylor Hendricks, another two more rookies that are carving out playing time, but I'm kind of hesitant on them projecting them for next year, just because, you know, obviously you're gonna have Markkanen back and Collins probably. You know, like, there'll be other options in the front court. Keontae George is a really great player for next year, fantasy and for keeper leagues. As for tonight, this is another double-digit spread. Denver's favored by 15. Their money line is minus 1450. So there's not much money to be made on Denver tonight. So I'm probably not rolling with any of that. They have been resting a lot of their regulars. Jamal Murray just came back from an absence. Gordon has missed a couple games. Jokic missed a game a couple weeks ago, but he's been playing. He's been a regular on the injury report. I think this is kind of just like a get right game for Denver. Blow out a silly season team. Not much going on. I do like Nikola Jokic like to dominate. Like you said, John Collins and Walker Kessler are both out tonight. That means Yurtseven is starting at center. I don't expect him to be locking down Jokic for much longer. The only thing that could stop Jokic from reaching his totals tonight is just a blowout and he doesn't play in the fourth quarter, which is certainly possible.
A couple more games here and then we're gonna get ready to roll out of here. We've got the Golden State Warriors against the Lakers. You got Wiggins. Andrew Wiggins is probable. Trace Jackson Davis, starting for the Warriors, playing pretty well. I like him in FanDuel. LeBron and AD are both iffy. LeBron missed the last one with an illness. AD left with an eye. But I think they're both going to play. And these teams don't really like each other. I think they want to go out and try to bang each other up here before the playoffs get going. And it should be a fun one. This is a game I could actually sit and watch tonight, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. This is definitely a top three game on the slate. Like you said, these teams don't really like each other. Steph and LeBron are always kind of cordial in the media and whatever, and talking about their legacies. And obviously, there's the Draymond Green. He adores LeBron based on all of the things that he says. But I think these two teams, when they play each other, they want to be at their best. Trace Jackson Davis has been playing really well as a starter. I'm expecting him to remain in the starting lineup just because of the Anthony Davis in the front court. But Jonathan Kuminga is back and healthy, and he came off the bench last game, so I wouldn't be surprised if he did that again, even though he was a regular starter for a long time. This is a fantastic game. Like I said, you know, you got the Kings and the Thunder, and then you got the Bucks and the Celtics. This is right there up there on the slate for must-watch TV. The Lakers are 2.5-point favorites. They've been on fire recently. The Warriors have trouble containing LeBron, so I think I'm going to be rolling with Lakers -2.5 against the Warriors tonight. I do like the Warriors. I feel like Klay has to have a big game in order for them to be able to combat the Lakers' physicalness in the front court with LeBron and Rui Hachimura, for that matter, and AD.
Well, anytime you have to rely on Klay, I don't think it's a good thing. But Rui Hachimura, man, one thing I learned this year is if AD or LeBron's not playing, Rui is going to be the man. The Clippers are visiting the Phoenix Suns. Kawhi Leonard is out for the fifth straight game. James Harden, Paul George, Terrence Mann will all play and should do well. They all played well on Sunday. Suns injury report is pretty clean, except Yusuf Nurkic, Nurk alert, questionable with a sprained right ankle.
Yeah, if Kawhi was playing, this would be a must-watch game. Without Kawhi, I don't have much faith in the Clippers. PJ Tucker in a starting lineup for a wannabe championship contending team in the year 2024 is not ideal. So I like the Suns to cover tonight. They lost last night. They had been kind of picking up steam and then kind of hit the brakes again. It's kind of been the story of their entire season. They're horrible in the fourth quarter. That's the biggest concern for the Suns going into the playoffs. But barring another PG-13 Paul George explosion, I don't think the Clippers can keep pace with the Suns when the Suns are at full strength with Booker and Beal and Allen and KD dropping in threes. So I like Phoenix to cover here. The line is Phoenix is favored by 7.5 points. If Kawhi was playing, this is a totally different story, but I just don't think the Clippers have enough firepower.
Nice. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think, I don't know that I love a lot of FanDuel stuff in that game. Maybe some Grayson Allen, but he's so expensive now that he's tough. Anyway. Last game of the night, it is a doozy. The New Orleans Pelicans, healthy except for Brandon Ingram, against the Blazers silly season lineup that includes Scoot Henderson, Ryan Rupert, Chris Murray, Jabari Walker, and somehow the man I feel is being punished all season for being who he is, DeAndre Ayton. Look, dude, I know you want to go to Cancun. We know you want out of here. We know you don't care. But guess what? You're playing 30 minutes again tonight. Suck it up and go.
Dominating. I mean, DeAndre's playing really well. I'm happy for him. That starting lineup is brutal. Scoot Henderson has not lived up to my expectations. I think there's still hope that he can turn a corner. He's just for fantasy purposes, he's kind of a wash in category leagues. He can put up stats in points leagues. The main piece for Portland is the bench guy, Delano Banton. He's been just fantastic. Him and DeAndre Ayton are the only guys I like in Portland. I'm a really big Pelicans stan. I'm sure anybody who tunes in has noticed that. I know that they've been struggling without Brandon Ingram. Zion's been playing fantastic ball. I think he's playing the best ball of his career right now. That's dangerous. CJ McCollum is nice. Herbert Jones is a fantastic defender. Trey Murphy's a good shooter. Like, they got all these pieces. I'm really hoping that they can put it together. I got to stick with my guns here. I'm rolling with the Pelicans to cover -13 against the Trailblazers. There's not much analysis to go into this other than the Pelicans need to win. They need to keep winning, and they need to blow out teams like Portland. They can't pull the Bucks. They can't fall apart like this. I think Pelicans play pretty tough tonight, and I think Zion just absolutely goes crazy. So the Pelicans -13, and I'm all over on the Zions, over on every Zions prop bet that is out there.
Wow, that's a lot of faith in a guy with a hurt finger and an appetite for destruction. I almost let me get out of here without giving Danilo Banton some last second praise, but man, that guy carrying teams for the last 2 months, just balling. Silly season Superman, silly season here. I love Banton so much, and I love the fact that you know, I love that. I love when I pick a guy up that nobody else is really talking about, and then, you know, a co-host on a podcast or something like, you know, I'm not really feeling that guy. And then that guy just goes off for the next 2 months. And it's like, let's go and do this. So love me some Danilo Banton.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Well, I think we did it again. We made it through a podcast. My voice is still here. And I think now, Kieran, my vision is for you and I to do this every Tuesday through the playoffs. Are you good with that?
Yeah, sounds good to me. Before we get out of here, I do want to answer Matt Carmody's question. He said, how many of the final four games do you think Middleton will play for the Bucks? I think, so looking back, Middleton has played in 9 of 11, and the only two times he sat out was the second night of a back-to-back set. The Bucks play tonight, and then they also play tomorrow. I'm expecting Chris to play tonight, expecting him to sit tomorrow, but then I would assume he'll play the final two games. The Bucks are, like we've mentioned, they're fighting for the number two seed, so they can't really rest him over those last two games. And like we said, one of those games is against the Magic, so they're definitely going to need him to be available for that game as they fend off the fierce competition for the two seed. So I would say conservatively, he'll probably play at least two, probably will play three of the four.
And I am I'm more bold on him playing three than you are, and I think he might even play four. It depends on what their locker room is like. If their locker room is talking about getting tracked down, and getting tracked down by the Magic and getting passed, and they're like, we can't let this happen. And Middleton, you're healthy. You've only played so and so many games over the last two seasons. Get out there and, you know, carry us home down the stretch. So I wouldn't even be surprised if he played in that back-to-back. I'm not going to go as far as predicting that he will. I just think it's possible that he could.
Yeah, and like the game tomorrow is against the Magic, so that would be the big one. And so I feel like there's a chance he plays four, but I like you said, I don't want to project that he'll play four for sure.
All right, well, Kieran and I will be here every Tuesday at 11 throughout the NBA playoffs to talk DraftKings, FanDuel, Underdog, Prize Picks, whatever. And then Camlin and I'll be back here on Thursday doing our victory laps on our championships. And then we'll go from there. But I'll see you all again Thursday at 11. And Kieran, thank you so much for coming on, and look forward to keep doing this.
Yeah, sounds good, Steve. Looking forward to it. Have a good time at the game tonight.
Thanks, man. See you guys.
Have a good one.